for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, November the 29th, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on cutting off provisions.
Well, I want to sing for you before I... This is because it's on my heart. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long,
his touch with my...
Praise God. She has an excellent spirit. Praise God.
Amen.
I want you to know all this staff here has an excellent spirit.
Amen.
They do. They might be a police woman, but they have an excellent spirit. The cook. They know who we're talking about. Praise God. And but they have an excellent spirit, and we thank God for them, because somebody has to be the policeman or policewoman, don't they? They do. Things get out of hand.
And she does it with grace.
She does. Praise God. And you better submit. Praise God. Because it's right before God. Well, it's been good, hasn't it? The camp has been so good. Praise God. Thank God for everyone and everything He's done. I want to talk to you this morning about cutting off provisions. Cutting off provisions. Lord, we ask that You'd send down the Holy Spirit from heaven in this place this morning, Father, and speak to our hearts and move our hearts, Lord. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about what provisions are, what provisions do, and how to cut off the wrong provisions. To make provisions means to set things up, to establish, to prepare, to fix, to provide the means for, to do something, to arrange for, to furnish for, to make ready for, to direct, to make contact for, like as on the phone or whatever. To do things, you know, there in the Shiloh house, I've learned something. If people are having a problem with drugs, they don't need a phone.
Yeah.
You can take the car keys away from them, which I've done, but that's all right. That with that phone, they can sneak out at night, meet somebody in the parking lot. That's making provision. That phone call's making the provision. To do things that make a thing possible, to order, to you can get on the internet and order things to make provision. To confirm, to determine, to make strong for, to make preparations for, to make considerations for, to count on for, to fashion to form for, to make yourself ready for, to make sure for. Now, there are many things for which we all make provisions. Some of those things are good and necessary, but some of those things are harmful and totally unnecessary. I've wasted a lot of money in my life. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I got married when I was 27, worked since I was 16, didn't have a thing to show for. That's kind of dumb, isn't it? But I guess I was having a good time. I don't know. Can't remember. Sometimes good you can't remember. It's not all bad, you know. Some things we should never make provision for, and some things we should always make provision for. Some of the provisions we choose to provide or store up are according to desires, while other provisions are according to our needs. I was talking to someone, and I'm glad I talked to them, and they would tell me they didn't feel impressed to prepare for the things that are coming. Amen. And I do. God's moved on me to do it, but when I listen to them, I'm while they're talking, you're thinking. And I'm thinking, well, you're wrong. You need to be doing that. But then when they told me why, it's because if I understood right what they were saying, what I felt in my heart is it was a lack of trust in God. And so you can prepare as a lack of trust in God, or you can prepare while you trust in God. In many provisions, we make a choice. We have a choice, such as whether to choose to provide navy beans or pinto beans, or to provide beef or pork. Now, I know some don't, but I just hold on about the pork. And we do so according to our taste, or our convictions, the way we understand the Scripture, our physical needs, or perhaps according to allergies or other health needs. We had a boy in our Christian school that was highly allergic to peanuts, peanut oil, peanut anything. And his mother showed us how, and we kept an EpiPen there for him just in case, you know, while the other kids brought peanut butter sandwich and sat too close to him. Some provisions we might want to store up are not available. Therefore, we must choose an alternate or make no provision at all for that desire or need. There are provisions available for the body, the mind, the emotions, and the spirit of mankind. And I'll tell you, if you let the devil, he'll work that. He'll work that thing. And also, we make provision for animals, for machinery. You all make provision to get here. If you drove here, you put gas in that tank. You hopefully aired up the tires, checked the car out, you know, depending on how far you're coming. We make provision. We make provision for heat. We have a huge stack of firewood. That's called provision. I tell you, it's too late when the snow starts falling. You go out there and cut down a green tree. You're just wasting your time, you know. You cut that wood at the right time, so it'll season, and you can burn it. We do it for cooling, for protection. Praise God. But all these provisions are still aimed at the body, the mind, the emotions, and the spirit of mankind. Even if you're caring for an animal, it's really for you. You understand what? It's really for you. Whether it's a horse, a dog, a cow, cat, whatever it is, it's for you. In some way, your emotional needs, your physical needs, your spiritual. I don't know how it could be spiritual, but I guess it could be. Much of our lives revolve around. They revolve around and are spent in making provision for our body, mind, and emotions. Some of you work 40 hours a week to make provision. Some of you work 60 hours a week to make provision. We spend a lot of time in making provisions. Usually we spend too much time on those provisions and not nearly enough time on making provision for our spiritual man.
That's right.
Or even our family. You know, how many have worked so hard, so many fathers or mothers worked so hard, so many hours, so their kids could dress like the other kids and then end up losing the child because they didn't pay attention to them because they weren't there for them. In Matthew 6:25, and Jesus speaking, he said, "Therefore I say to you," now we're either going to believe what he says or not, "take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, that you should put what you should put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than raiment?" Now I need to say, when he says take no thought, he's not saying, you know, don't prepare. He's saying don't worry, don't be anxious, is what he's saying. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Is it wrong to build a barn then? No. When I left, they were working on a barn for turkeys there in our church. "Which of you have taken thought can add one cubit to his stature?" Of course, you can go out and buy some shoes, you know, with a big heel on it. Why take you thought for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, is it wrong to make clothes? No, it's not wrong. But it's wrong to worry about it. "If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Praise God. You can get some pretty good deals at Goodwill or Can Help or other places, you know, garage sales. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek," the heathen seek. "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all those things." Amen. What kind of a father would know that his child needs a pair of shoes and has the means to do it and wouldn't do it? "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I can stand here this morning and tell you that 99% of the church does not obey this one scripture. And you know we don't. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." When the Lord commanded us not to take thought, as I said earlier, he's not telling us to not make provision. But he's telling us not to worry, fret, or be anxious. The Lord also commands that if we won't work, we don't eat. Now, I'm going to give you examples of necessary provisions. Here are some examples in the Scriptures that demonstrate the purpose and the value of making necessary provisions. In Genesis 45:21, He gave me these Scriptures so we can get in our mind what it means to make a provision. So we can be conscious of those provisions, if they're right provisions or wrong provisions. What should we do with wrong provisions? Cut them off. Genesis 45:21, and Joseph gave the children of Israel wagons. Now he is now second in command in Egypt. And he's arranging to bring his father and the family back. And so he gave the children of Israel, his brothers, and his for his father, who's still back there in the land of promise, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them permission for the way. Provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment or clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothing. And to his father he said, this manner, 10 for his father, 10 donkeys laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys laden with corn and bread and food for his father to eat on the way. And so he says, provision. And so he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you fall not out of the way, meaning don't quarrel on the way. On the way, he knows, God showed him, they're going to start blaming each other, you know, for what they did too. Because they still got great fear in their heart. You know, when Jacob, Israel passed away, they went and fell down before him. And it's been a long time, folks, but those dreams, they're being fulfilled right in front of his face. God promised you something, you wait in faith. You will see it if God said it. And you'll believe. I had a dream years ago. And see, God's made a lot of promises to me about our church. And they're incredible because it would be incredible. It will be. Please be the Lord. It will be incredible. He told me it surprised even me. But I had this dream. And in the dream, I was sitting or practically laying in a ditch. In terrible condition, beaten and battered and looked awful. And people would come by and say, look, get out of that ditch. Come on, you know, live life. Get out of it. Well, if you could understand where I've been for about 35 years, it's like being in a ditch. Beaten and tattered and whooped down and embarrassed and shamed and everything you want to name. But I would reply to them in the dream, no, the Lord told me to be here. And if I'm not here when he comes, I'll miss him. So I'm going to stay right here. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're planning on running this morning, you know what I mean, running, because it's too hard, don't do it. If God told you to be there, you stay there. If God told you to do that, you do it. And if you don't have the provision to do it, there is coming a time. If he said do it, it'll come. For 35 years, we couldn't even pay our bills on time, most of them. Embarrassing. One time I thought we should file for bankruptcy. But about 2.5 years ago, God turned that thing around. I cried a lot because we couldn't pay the bills. Then I cried because God was blessing us so much. You know what? So Paul, I just need to put this in here. Paul said he learned how to have plenty and he learned how to not have enough. You've got to learn that. Either one of them will mess you up. Either one of them, you'll get discouraged or you'll get proud. You'll get independent of God. You won't listen to him when the abundance comes. Praise God. He has taught me, and I believe I can say this with honest heart, he's taught me so well. Now when the time of abundance has come, I mean, just wow, you know. And the time of abundance has come, I don't go out and act crazy and buy junk and stuff, you know. And, no, sir. If it doesn't pertain to what God showed me, if it won't get us there, and I even have to pray about that because some things I will and they won't. But if it doesn't pertain to it, then leave it alone. Don't buy it. Praise God. Well, I've got this money to spend. Well, God's got a reason he gave that money. How many figure that every time you get a little extra? Oh, what am I going to do with this now? That, you know. Well, there's a reason he gave it to you because something's coming. And your motor's going to blow up on your truck and you're going to need it or whatever. Praise God. So he did this for him. Joseph provided provisions of transportation, clothing, finances, and food to bring his family down to Egypt where he could continue to nourish them, continue to, with more provisions over the years. Praise God. God knows how, doesn't he? God knows how to, if he puts you somewhere, he'll provide what he said to do. Amen. But you have to have faith. Praise God. We have to have faith. And we have to be obedient. There's so many times that God would put, I've learned this, if he puts it right in front of my face, I need to think about it. I need to look at it. I need to maybe buy it, you know, or make arrangements to buy it if he puts it in front of my face. How many things he put there and I didn't pay attention? And then in a little while, I said, whoa, wished I'd have done that, wished I'd have bought that. Praise God. Now, there are all these are all necessary provisions that Joseph made for the needs of the body, mind, emotions, and spirit of his family. These provisions were made possible because God sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, to save much people alive. That's Scripture. God sent him. If God's speaking to you, if he's wanting to send you ahead to provide, to keep much people alive, I'm really into this, and I believe we all need to be as Christians, whatever God shows us to do. Our calling is not to heap it upon ourselves. Our calling is to help other people. That's what we're called to do. That's what we'd be judged on. Now, life, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, cannot be sustained without appropriate provisions. What Joseph did was all the work of God. As he obeyed God's voice, just as Noah obeyed and made provision when he was moved with fear. And some, what Joseph did was big. You know, he, for 7 years, because he listened to God, spoke out, believed God, he provided to keep much people alive for 7 years. 7 years getting ready, making the provision, 7 years of dispensing that provision. You got to know how to get it as well as how to dispense it. But Noah, he made the biggest ark because God told him to. There was not another ship that large made until the 1800s. He made provision for himself, for his family, and all those animals by building that huge ark according to the pattern that God showed him. So God gives you a vision, but you have to see the pattern. God has to show you the pattern. Sometimes that comes in parts, not all at once. And then, so you have the vision, you have the pattern, you got to see that you do it according to the pattern. Don't be injecting your own ideas or someone else's, because they're pressuring you. But then you got to go and find the wood, you got to find the parts for the tabernacle, the temple, and all that. Now, he did it according, and he even put a window up there. And so, why did he put a window there? Well, God has a reason for putting a window. And if it had been you and me, we'd probably say, I don't think I need a window. Might leak. You know, I'm not going to put the window up there. But that window was essential, wasn't it? One thing, you got all that smelly stuff in there, you need a window for some ventilation. Praise God. But he put the window, and he stored up food and feed in it. Provision in that ark. The ark was a provision, and what he put in the ark was a provision. And all those animals were provision to repopulate the animal kingdom. Now, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God provided provision of manna, sent down from heaven 6 days a week. That was the provision for food. He made a provision of water. Water out of the rock to sustain their body, their mind, their emotions, and their spirit. I'll tell you what, for most of us, if we're not having adequate provision or the right kind of provision, it affects us spiritually. I'm not saying it should, but it does. If you're sick, it's hard. It's more difficult for most people to worship God when they're sick than when they're well. But when they're well, they don't have time to worship Him. They're busy running and doing, you know. This manna was a perfect provision of food, the most perfect man has ever eaten. But they despised it. And the water that God provided needed no filter, no chloride, and no fluoride. It didn't need any of that. Perfect water. In 1 Chronicles 29:16 says, O Lord our God, all this store or abundant provision that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name comes of your hand and is all your own. You have to realize that. God gives you provision. It came from Him and it's His. 17, I know also, my God, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. That's a warning to us concerning provision. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, our provisions, and now have I seen with joy your people, which are present here to offer willingly to you. Now, there's some provisions we cannot provide without the help of others. Solomon needed those people to come and help him. When they were building the tabernacle, God gave men a willing heart and a mind to work. You need other people to help you do what God's shown you doing, at least in most cases. We go down under the bridges. We're not running that thing. We just go help. You know, you don't always have to be the big boss. You don't always have to be in charge of everything. You could go in there and help somebody else do it. And if you're going to, do it like they're telling you to do it. Don't go muck up things, you know, and go, oh, I think we're going to do this and that. They don't need that. But we just go under their help. And you know what? I believe if you'll do that, then when God shows you something to do, he'll send you people to help. And if you're angry and contrary and hard-headed, that's got to be what he's going to send you. Right? Praise God. So, now, verse 18, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart to you. This is such a wonderful thing to look back and see how God has prepared provision. But I want to tell you this. It doesn't take long for us, a little glitch come, and we're all to give up, you know, and mad and discouraged and whatever. And it's just like the children, he provides provision for them to escape the Egyptian army. He puts a cloud between them, then he opens up the Red Sea. They go across them. He provided dry ground. They get across. Then he shuts the thing up on them, the water up on them. He said, you'll never see them again. How long is it before they're complaining and they're murmuring and they lost their faith? But they can't remember. I don't know about you, but I think if I walked through dry ground with water stacked up on both sides of me, I would have a little more faith than they had. But I don't know. I wasn't there. A lot of people, well, if I was alive in Jesus' day, oh, if you was, you might have been one of those crying crucified. You might have been. Praise God knows when we need to be born and when we need to die. Praise God. And he said, and give to Solomon, my son, this is David talking, a perfect heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes and do all these things and build the temple for which I have made provision. Now here we see material and physical provision made and stored up for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. It's hard for us there. We're redoing two 5,000 square foot buildings, each one of them are. And I told you that earlier, God puts it from my face and I get it. Well, that makes things a little hard because there's a few here that have been there and saw that and helped. And I appreciate that. I very much do. Thank God. But all this stuff is done. You got to move it over here so you can work here. And then when you get that, you move it back over here. And then you move it over there. But he made his provision. Now, in the same sense, we see today, we today are commanded to bring all our tithes and offerings into what? The storehouse of God. The church. That there might be provision in the house of God to meet the needs of the ministers and also our neighbors in need. Malachi 3:10. I'm going to add this. Put your tithes where God said put it. Okay, you don't help your grandma. You don't help Aunt Susie because she's got problems. That's not what tithes is for. That's God's. Don't be touching. Don't be stealing. And, you know, some people just don't want to give their tithes. So they'll find grandma so they can give it to her instead. there are churches that starve the pastor out, you know. They don't like what he's doing. They just starve him out or whatever. When I went to Peerless, some of you heard this, the restroom was out by the back fence with the wasp spray and all that, you know. And it was a sad place. But God prepared my heart where I would go there. My parents came and visited, and when they left, they said, well, this is nice. We hope you hurry up and get a real church. And that's a real deflator. But so the deal was that I got the Sunday morning tithes, and the Sunday school offering went to support the church. Well, they didn't like something I did. And that morning, they all put their tithes in the Sunday school offering. Well, I'm just, you know, that night I got up and I said, look here, you told me that I would get the tithes, but you put it in the Sunday school offering. I confronted them. And after that, they didn't do that anymore. They did other things, but they didn't do that. Praise God. That church started in 1935 in a brush harbor. And that's good to have that year. We started a brush harbor, you know. But anyway, that's where it started. And in all those years, there's only been two pastors that they didn't run off, and I'm one of them. Praise God. Isn't that neat? I'm one of them. But I tell you, it's God. He kills some of them, moves some of them. He really did. He did. And the one before me, he had a lot more going for him than I did. And I was just amazed. It had to be God, because I wasn't smart enough or whatever, good looking enough or talented enough. We didn't have a piano player. For 7 years, I took care of another church. We did. The church did. Plus our church. So I had two churches and drove 23 miles. And we finally thought we found a pastor. He was interested. He was retired. And he said, look, I got 20 people coming. I've got a piano player coming. Well, 2 weeks before he's coming, he called and said, well, the piano player's not going to come. So you can't have church without a piano player, so I'm not coming. And I thought, you need to tell that to Jesus. You need to tell that to the 120 in the upper room, because I don't know who is playing the piano for them.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, 1 John 3:17, but whosoever has this world's goods and sees his or is aware of his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? When Rahab the harlot hid the two men of Israel who came to spy out Jericho, she was making provision.
Amen.
To sustain them alive. You know, she put them under the flax there on the roof and then let them down on that stream. And for that, she and her family were sustained alive. She made provision. So much about provision. Now, we'll talk about provision to sin. This is where we're going here primarily. The provisions that we make for our spirit is totally different from the provisions we make for our body, our mind, and our emotions. We do it for that, but not for the right reason. Often by cutting off certain provisions for our body, mind, emotions, we make provision for our spirit. Like fasting, we cut off that provision. Often by making provision for our body, mind, and emotions, we cut off provision for our spirit. Provisions are powerful. And without provisions, nothing can be sustained. Praise God. Nothing can be. You know, the man that Jesus talked about, he's going to build a tower and he has enough to start, but he doesn't have the provision to finish. And then they'll mock him. Our physical life could not be sustained without certain provisions such as food and water. But on the other hand, the wrong provisions or too much provisions can also limit or cancel sustainability. You know, the children of Israel were told to gather just enough for that one day. And then on the sixth day, gather twice as much. Well, you know, they didn't listen to that. They went and just, hey, you know, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. I'm going to gather up enough for today and tomorrow. But it wasn't the Sabbath day tomorrow. And it stunk. And the whole camp stunk. Now, we're not to cut off our necessary bread or provision, but we must cut off bread that provides opportunity for us to fulfill the lust of our flesh and our mind. Bread can be many things. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then there are provisions that we make for the opportunity to sin. Now, listen to this. There could be no sin unless there was first provision made for that sin. You have to make the provision. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's something you're buying, something you're looking at, you have to make a contact you make, a place you position yourself. You have to make the provision first. And I want to tell you this morning, this is what this sermon is. If you'll cut off that provision, you can cut off that sin. Just cut the provision off. You know, David Wilkerson, I heard this in a message. He picked up the phone and started to make a phone call. And the Holy Spirit said to him, if you don't put that phone down, it's over for you. Somehow he was making a provision. Now when Eve positioned herself near the tree, when she just got over there by that tree with a forbidden fruit on it, she was making provision to sin. Right there, she was making that provision. And therefore her sin was as good as finished. Right there. When she moved over there by, what was she doing by that tree? Sometimes it's something or someone else that makes provision for us. What did Eve do? She took in her hand some of that forbidden fruit and took it to her husband. Now, James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved, who? Brethren. He's talking to the church there. The church has problems with temptation. The people of God. Now, in this process of being drawn away and enticed, somewhere in there, he makes the provision. Or it can't happen. When you feel or realize that you're being drawn away from holiness, and you're being enticed by your lust, then know you're about to be tempted. You're about to be tempted. But without provision, you cannot obey the temptation to sin. It's in the process of being drawn away and being enticed that we begin to make those provisions to sin. The thought comes in our mind, then we've got to make the provision to do it. Sometimes the thought itself is a provision. Mm-hmm. Now, we accept the provisions that are provided to us by others, by demons, or by circumstances. Now, I'm often throughout my ministry and in our school, I tell those kids, you know how to never smoke another cigarette? Don't buy another one. Don't make the provision. If you have problems with drinking, don't buy another bottle or can of it. If you're doing drugs, don't buy anymore. Don't go down where it's at. Provision is a process. Or the next drug fix or rent or buy book or DVD. Every time we buy another or accept another from anyone, we're making provisions to fulfill the lust of our mind and body. If you listen this morning, I believe God will help you. There's no one in here that's not tempted. Okay?
That's right.
In everything we do, we're either making provision to fulfill the lust of our body and our mind, or we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have a choice. Now, in order to avoid sin and the death that it brings, there are two things we must do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day, all day long, all night long. Put Him on. And I don't think we have to go into that for everybody to understand what that means. The second thing is make no provision. Never make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know when you're doing it. You know. When thoughts or desires of the flesh and mind pop up, we're to do this. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Without the first part of that verse, the second part will never work. You have to submit yourself to God. What is it? So we see again, and it's in all scriptures, we do these two things. We submit ourselves to God, or we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. The second is we resist the devil, or we make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the mind. By not making provision, we're obeying His commandment of Scripture. Romans 8:13. For if you live after or according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. To cut off the provision is to put it to death. Don't open your mouth and say that thing. Why don't you come over to my house? What is the guy doing or the woman doing when they say he takes her home and she says, why don't you come in and let's have a little drink? What's that? Well, that's provision. Are we that stupid? Don't we know that? It's provision. You're making provision. Of course, he wants it too, so he just might as well say thank you for the provision for to fulfill my flesh, the lust of my flesh. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. That means they cut off the provision. Galatians 3:5. You know, I don't know about you, but the Lord, if you'll ask Him to begin to show you the provisions you're making, and He has for me, and I realize that. Of course, then you have a choice to make, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Colossians 3:5. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members, the members of your body, which are upon the earth. You can't sin without using the members of your body. Put off fornication, uncleanness, sensual passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. It's not going to be the Holy Ghost that comes down from heaven. It's going to be the wrath of God. And we have a choice. Now, examples of making provision for the lust of the flesh. 1 Kings 12:26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now you know Jeroboam had fled from his life, for his life, from Solomon. And so, now Solomon is dead, and the kingdom is divided, as God said to David, because of his sin, the kingdom's divided. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, has taken over as king, and Jeroboam comes back, and they ask him, are you going to be easier than your father? And he talks to the young men, and they say, oh, no, you need to be harder. And he tells them that, so they revolt, and he loses 10 of the tribes. Now, he's over there, and he's got 10 of the tribes. And Jeroboam, this is the king of the 10 tribes, the northern tribes of what we call Israel. The other is Judah, the two tribes that are left to the house of David. He said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now here's where the provision starts for him, what he's going to do. It all begins with a lie from the devil, which is the opposite of the word of God by the mouth of the prophet Ahijah. Jeroboam should have answered that lie by saying, no, that is not the will of God, and that is not what God has told me. You have to stand against that. When the devil tells, one time the devil taught, well, yeah, you're being blessed now, but it's not going to continue. And you know, the answer that God gave me, no, it's the will of God that he make this provision. You have to know what the will of God is and stand. And when the devil says the opposite to the will of God, you call his hand on it.
Amen.
Instead, Jeroboam listened and agreed to the lie of the devil. Now, Noah moved with fear by what God had told him. And by faith, he built an ark for the saving of his family. But Rehoboam moved with fear by what the devil told him. And by faith, he built two altars in Israel to worship idols, believing that it would save him and his kingship. Now, the word of God that came by Ahijah to him, 1 Kings 11:37. And this is what God says to Jeroboam. This is way before this. Before this ever has come to pass. Any of it. And I will take you, and you shall reign according to all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel, the northern 10 tribes. And it shall be... Now, Jeroboam's a nobody when this is being told to him. It'll have to be God for this to happen. But it happened, because it was God. And he said, and it shall be, if you will listen to all that I command you, the Lord, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with you, and build you a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel. I will give Israel to you. Praise God. Now that's the word of God to him. It's the word and the will of God for Jeroboam. But he did not listen. He did not obey God's voice and his word to him. He had a word from a man of God. And so far, it all come to pass. Why wouldn't it continue to, Jeroboam? And so what did he do? He did the same thing the disciples did. You remember when Jesus said, let us go to the other side? And they got out there and the storm came. And they woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? But he said they're going to the other side. But they got afraid. In 1 Kings 12:28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to them, it is to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Here they are, right here. You don't have to go. Now, just as Eve helped Adam by sinning and making provision for the forbidden fruit she held in her hand, so these counselors, help Jeroboam make this provision for forbidden idols to fulfill the lust of Jeroboam in attempting to save his life. And Jeroboam had a good teacher in Aaron in his golden calf, didn't he? As Brother Randy said, there's nothing new under the sun. He's got two now. Often we engage and employ others to justify our provision making. You know, we don't want to do it by ourselves, so he gets his counselors together. Yeah, that's fine. Just like Rehoboam did when he was asked, will you lighten up the load and we'll serve you? And the young men told him, no, make it harder. Often we engage and employ others to do this. And there's always a provision of helpers in making our provisions to sin. And he set one in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even to Dan. And he made a house of high places, and he made priests of the lowest of people. I mean, just the sinners, you know, just the worst of people, which were not the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained. See, all these things he's doing, he's making, he's ordaining, he's making a feast in the 8th month and the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that's in Judah. And he offered, there's another provision he's making on the altar. And he did, that's provision in Bethel, sacrificing the calves that he had made, that's provision. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Again, another provision. He's just making provision to save his own skin because he doesn't believe the word of God. So he offered on the altar, that's another provision. This whole thing is, which he made in Bethel on the 15th day of the month, even the month which he devised of his own heart. And he ordained a feast, there's another provision, to the children of Israel. He offered on the altar burnt incense. Eventually, he made his own self a priest. Now, Jeroboam's provision that he made implemented, thinking it would save him, was the very thing that God destroyed him over. The very thing. And it's the same with us. You make provision and God will destroy you over that. Noah moved with fear by the word of the Lord and saved his sons alive, his three sons. But Jeroboam, you remember what happened to Jeroboam's sons? Jeroboam moved with fear at the word of the devil. And he lost every one of his sons and grandsons who would have reigned in his place. They would have if he had obeyed the word of the Lord. Remember the prophet came to him and said, there'll not be one descendant of Jeroboam's that peace against the wall left. Not one. In other words, not one of yours will be left. And none of them were. We're talking about making provision. You can make provision for your anger. You can make provision for your jealousy. You can make so much for your wanting to be the top dog, you know, whatever. We make provisions. 2 Samuel 13:1, and it came to pass, this is another one, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair, beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her or lusted after her. And Amnon was so vexed, so on fire and burning with lust, that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard or difficult for him to do anything to her. Is that the right attitude of a young man that's interested in a young girl? Do something to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shammai, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said to him, why are you being the king's son? That sounds like Jezebel and Ahab, doesn't it? Why are you being a king's son? Oh, we're the king's children. We deserve this. You know, that's entitlement. Why are you leaning from day to day? Will you not tell me? And Ammon told him and said, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said to him, well, lay yourself down on your bed, make yourself sick, and when your father comes to see you, say to him, I pray you, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, cook the food in my sight, that I may sit and eat it at her hand. That is so stupid. I don't understand David not understanding, seeing what's going on. The parents need to be better parents than that. And just as Adam, if he had just said no and cut that provision off himself. Now, just as Adam had his wife for a provider of evil provision, so Amnon had his cousin Jonadab for a provider of a plan to make evil provision for his lust to be fulfilled. What's the provision? He plays sick. That's the provision to get her in there. Just as a serpent was subtle with his deception, so Jonadab was subtle in deception of plan and provision for the sexual gratification of Amnon. Verse 6, so Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said to the king, I pray you let Tamar, you can see the little tears, you know, struggling voice, and come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I might eat at her hand. Making himself appear sick was making provision to fulfill the lust of his flesh. There's a plan laid out here. It's provision to fulfill the lust of his flesh. You've made them, I've made them. Getting Tamar alone, not for all of us, but for whatever reason we wanted to do what we wanted to do. I work at a Safeway in Greenville, Texas, and there was a meat cutter. Meat cutters made good money. Usually only the manager made more money than they did. The manager of the whole store. And he had a little system going where he would take meat out in boxes and act like he's putting it in the trash, but he'd set it over the side, and after he got off, he'd go get it. What was he doing? That was a plan. He was making provision, see, to steal that meat. Of course, he lost his job. He lost that good job for a little bit of meat he's sitting out there. There's another store I worked at, and there was a lady, Assembly of God, oh my goodness, Assembly of God. And she, that's back when they didn't have scanners and things. Things were different. There was a day when they didn't have scanners. Some of you don't know that. But she was, her friends come through, and she'd act like she's charging, you know, and it, you got to push the buttons, you know, and she'd push 10 cents for a dollar and things like that. And then when it was her turn to go through, they'd do it for her. Well, you know, they're smarter than she is, and they caught her. And it was so embarrassing. It was hard for me to look her in the face. They fired her. But she had a plan. She had provision. She made provision. And what did he get her? Well, getting Tamar along with him was the plan of evil provision. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to your brother Amnon's house and dress him food, or make him food." It's amazing that David did not see through this plot and recognize it as the evil provision it was, so that the lives of several of his children and almost his own life could have been spared. Many people lost their lives because of this kind of thing that David did. But then this is the same David who earlier made provision to fulfill his lust by staying home from war, ended up in bed with another man's wife. Then David attempted to, God help us to see when we're making provision to sin, to fulfill the lust of our flesh. Then David attempted to make more provision to protect his reputation by calling her husband Uriah home from the war. No, and that didn't work, so he got him drunk thinking that worked. He stayed on the steps of the palace, thinking that Uriah would have sexual relations with his wife to make it look like he's the father of that child. When that didn't work, David had more provision. You know what he did? He sent his own death letter warrant in his hand that told the commander to put him in the front lines and withdraw from him so he'd be killed. Now, where does the making provision to fulfill our lust end? You know, you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie, cover up that lie, another lie, and finally you don't even know what you said. It's making provision. Lies. Lies are making provision. You know that. Stealing is making provision. Now, more provision is put in place to fulfill his lust. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring them, you know what happened. He took hold of her. He pulled her in there. He forced her. He was stronger than her. And she said, don't do that. Now, this is important. She said, as did Joseph. She's like Joseph. Answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not you this folly. And I, where shall I cause my shame to go? And as for you, you shall be as one of the fools in Israel. And he was. Eventually he's going to be a dead fool. Now therefore I pray you speak to the king, and he will not withhold you from me. Now here's what we got to understand. Here is, out of her mouth comes a plan for righteous provisions. She said, just ask our father, and he will give me to you. Just don't do this. Now the Lord has provided Amnon with a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's what he's done. He's right there in front of you, Amnon. You can cut this provision off. You can quit this game you're playing. You can stop this right now. But his lust is burning within him, and he will not wait for God to give him provision or to provide for him. Amnon knows what he's doing, but he doesn't really know what he's doing. He doesn't really know. Just like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew what they were doing, but they didn't really know what they were doing. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, if the princes of this world had known what they were doing, they would not have crucified him. Now, Amnon has lost his right mind, but unlike the prodigal son who came to his right mind, Amnon never came to himself. He wouldn't listen to her. He was stronger. He forced her. He lay with her. His superior strength made provision for him. Lust is conceived. Sin is brought forth. Sin, when it's finished, death will come. And then it says that he hated her exceedingly. He hated her more than he had loved her. This is interesting, isn't it? He told her to get out of the house. He told his servant to bolt the door after her. Now, what's wrong? Now he hates her more than he loved her, thought he loved her. The very sight of Tamar now reminds him of his folly. And therefore he hates her greatly, but he really hates his own stupid sin. That's what he's really hating. She is a reminder of him, what he's done. But getting rid of Tamar, his ultimate provision to provide for the lust of his flesh, that woman, will not take away his guilt. We read on how that Absalom, he had a plan, a provision to kill him, to kill his brother Amnon for what he did to his sister Tamar. He had a plan, and he worked it out. He told, don't say anything about it right now. Then he had this feast, then he works it out, you know, where they can all come, and he invites his father. He said, oh, I'm busy, you go ahead and do it. And that worked just exactly like Absalom wanted it to work. And then he told his men, when he gets drunk, kill him. Made provision to get revenge on him. Now Jesus told of the rich man that planned to tear down his barns and build bigger barns to store his bounty. But he never got to build those barns of provision, because the Lord required his soul from him that very night. Judas made provisions to gain 30 pieces of silver by betraying Christ, but he never got to spend a dime of that money. You know, God, I'm going to tell you something. God's not impressed with our provisions that we're making to fulfill the lust of our flesh. He hates them with a perfect hatred, and they're going to come back and bite us. We're not as smart as we think we are. See, we're making these provisions, and if you're a child of God, this is not going to work for the world, folks. They don't care a thing about what we're talking about. If they can get away with it. And some of them don't even care if they get away with it. But when the child of God has a lust coming up in him or her for something, could be sexual, could be anything. I can't say what I would like to say, but there. I can't. I really can't. It involves a court case. But for one of our ministers. But you know, I've got to stop right there. But when we're doing this thing, if we're a child of God, I'm telling you, God will do perhaps, hopefully, two things. One thing, he's going to show you you're making a provision and you have a choice to cut it off. The second thing he's going to do is provide a way of escape for you. Showing you that's a provision to sin is one of them, but he will. He'll provide a way of escape. He'll send someone to interrupt what you're about to do. Or he'll cut off the means for you to do it. Maybe your car won't start. I don't know. Isn't God good? But if you want to do it, you'll go ahead. You'll figure out a way. Maybe not that time, but next time. But he said, my spirit won't always strive with man. So finally, he's going to let you have, like Romans 1 says, he's going to let you have what you want. He'll turn you over to it. He'll give you over to it. Right. You can go for it. Full blast. Go for it. But you're going to regret it. Now, cutting off provisions to fulfill the lust of our flesh, it involves such things as not setting up things to sin, not attempting to establish things to sin, not preparing to sin, not fixing things for sin, not providing the means for a sin, not arranging for the sin. You know, not, well, I'm going to go on a trip, honey, and I'll be back, you know, and love you, and I'll call you every night, and you got your arrangements made to take your secretary with you, and you're going to stay in the same room, by the way, and things like that. Not arranging for sin. You know what? What did Amnon do? He put them all out. Get out of here. Why? So he can do his thing. So he can satisfy the lust of his flesh. If you've got to hide what you're doing, you need to look at that. One time I was, when I was pastoring in Cattle Mill, and we were running buses and picking up children, and I pulled up to this one house, and there's a boy standing out there, and I saw smoke. It wasn't from a fireplace. And they run around behind the building. And I knew what they were doing. You know, they didn't want me to see them smoking. You ever seen them when they put it behind their back, but there's smoke coming up? And I thought to myself, boys, I'm not God. He sees you. I'm not the one that matters. He says, of course, maybe it's a thing of respect. But God knows what you're doing. We're not hiding anything from Him. Nobody. Listen, everybody in here, you're not hiding anything from Him. And some of you have made that same provision so many times you wore a rut in the ground doing it. You have. When are you going to stop it? When are you going to cut that provision off? If you'll cut the provision off, you can cut the sin off. And God will help you do it. Praise God. It means not making phone calls. not making contacts, not directing things, not doing things that make that sin possible, not ordering or buying some things to sin, not making yourself strong for sin or some situation, not confirming things for sin, not determining to sin. Oh my, I get convicted reading all this. Not making provisions for sin. And I look back on my life and all the provisions I made so I could do something. Is my halo fading? Hey man, we are what we are. I struggle, you struggle, we're all struggling. Get over it. Quit acting like you're not. You are. There ain't nobody in here that's not struggling. Not me. Well, then you're struggling with pride. Isn't that right? You're struggling. We're all struggling. If we weren't, we'd be translated. We'd be taken out of here. It'd be over with. That's why God's left you. You're still breathing. Because you have a struggle. You have lots of struggles, probably. Isn't it interesting? We think, if I can just get victory over this one thing, I'll be all right. You get that. If you do, God, and it's going to be God, if it happens, if you destroy those provisions, you cut them off, there's going to be something else come up. That's why the scripture says he's putting an axe to the root. To the root. You're cutting off this limb over here, this twig over here, and five more pop out. I don't know if you ever, we have Bodark trees. You know, horse apples, Bodark trees. And you cut that thing down, and there'll be 50 or 100 sprouts come back up from that thing. But you got to get the root, because you can't kill the thing. Not considering things for sin, not counting on things for sin, not fasting things for sin, not forming things for sin, not making yourself ready for sin. You know, the woman, she paints herself up, going to go out and find her somebody, make a provision. The man could do it too. Not making things sure for sin. Well, the cross dresser, what's he doing that? You know, making provision to sin and all that other stuff. You know there's some places you should not go. You go there, you're making provision to fulfill the lust of your flesh. Not setting any evil thing before your eyes, that's scripture. Not looking at, not listening to, not going to, things for sin. Now the Holy Spirit will expose those evil provisions. And then we make a choice, cut them off, flee from them, or play with them to our own demise and shame. And as I said, it's not the same with the world. Therefore, to whom much is given or revealed, much is required. Why didn't we cut that off? And God's going to ask us that. So why didn't you cut that off? Why didn't you? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jane, you come. I feel like this. When God showed me this, I felt like I found the key to something. Really. There are other keys. There are other things that God will show you. You know, there's one thing the Lord showed me. The woman called him the act of adultery, and they drug her before Jesus, and they said, Moses said, stone her. What do you say? And he said, well, let the one without sin cast the first stone. He stoops down and writes in the sand, and he looks up and says, do you have any accusers? She said, none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Listen to this. But he said, go and sin no more. Now that's two things, though. That's command and that's a prophetic word. How many times has God given you and me a prophetic word? And if we'll do it, we'll be free from those things. From the fear, the anger, the resentment, the rejection, the lust. We'll be free. Thank God that He gives us prophetic words. Amen. This is another one of them. Cut off the provision to sin. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's a prophetic word. Just as go and sin no more. One time the Lord gave me that. And you know, it helped me so much. Because if we can just get a word from God and stand on it, we can overcome. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say this, if God wants to use you in a gift, you know it's God. And you know how to know it's God. Just obey. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Just step out in faith. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The Lord wants us to make heaven more than we want to make it. He wants us saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And it is possible, folks. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
The Lord wants me to tell someone here that you're not to go back home the way you were going to go. Because the way you had planned to go is provision to sin. That's a provision to sin. And the Lord says, don't do it. Don't go that way. Praise God. And you, it's your choice. It's your choice. God loves you enough to tell you that. Praise God. If you want prayer this morning, you want God to help you. That you'll not be making provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That you'll submit to God, resist the devil, and flee from him. You want to be an overcomer. You want to be without spot or blemish or any such thing. I don't know about you, if I look at myself, I'm not there yet. Paul said he wasn't there yet. But we're forgetting those things that are behind. And we're pressing on toward the mark of the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. But if you want prayer, if you'll just come and stand here, whatever your need is, but if you'll come, pray for you, praise God, and ask God to help you. Perhaps the Lord have a word for you. We don't know. It's whatever He has, praise God. God bless these wonderful people. Wonderful people. People with an excellent spirit, Paul, in this place this morning. Excellent spirit, praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.